world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and welcome. We're back online. That's a good piece of information. And very grateful for those of you who were holding forth and you know, hanging in, man.
Yeah, see, there's the internet works now and everything.
Now, what did they say was wrong with it?
Well, I got the tech out here, and Alex was here too. And nice guy, smart guy, says, hey, basically the equipment, sometimes equipment gets degraded or eroded, and our studios being here at the El Pacifico, you can well imagine, ladies and gentlemen, that we get wind and rain and sleet, you know.
But we don't get sleet.
No, I know we don't get sleet, but we get...
What about like the salt air?
Salt air will do it.
And the sand, I understand, can actually blow into things.
Yeah, the sand... Sand will do it.
Like, about suntan lotion?
No, suntan lotion won't do it.
But like beach chairs and stuff?
No, not beach chairs. Are you guys being stupid now?
Well, you're talking about the beach.
Yeah, but I ain't talking about suntan lotion or beach chairs. I'm just talking about, and this time of year, man, there ain't no beach chairs and ain't no suntan lotion, man. It's getting cold out there. But it does cause rust. Rust, yes, rust. Rust is the enemy, and so we had a little bit of that, and a little bit of this, and a little bit of that, and, you know, there you go. So that is where that's at, okay, and we're very grateful that that's been fixed. Now, big announcement to make. Because I promised that we would have an additional video cast this week, because of last night's washout, if you will, last night's rain out, or last night's rust out.
Yeah, rust out. I like that one.
All right, don't... It's not that big of a deal. It wasn't that funny.
I thought it was funny.
It was fine. It wasn't that funny for him to start going, acting as if he's part of a short bus full of people going to the Laker game. You know.
What?
Never mind. So, short bus of people going to the Laker game.
Well, he's sitting... You know, he's one of those people. Where's the wheelchair sitting? Where are they? Is that the end of the arena?
What are you talking about, Margaret?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about him going, yoo-hoo!
All right, so he laughs like a jackass. I don't know.
Well, then why are you looking at me as if I'm the one that ought to be wearing the ski cap?
Because you're making a big deal out of nothing, and we're just getting underway, and I should expect it, but I don't know why. I just hope springs eternal. So what I wanted to say was, because of the rust out last night, we're going to have a bonus video cast on Saturday starting at noon. And it'll be maybe, I called it a prep online on the on our website. I called it kind of a prep for our drunk history appearance. So what we're going to do is have a recitation of some of my favorite stories from history while I do tequila shots. Bud, take it away.
Yay! Woo-hoo!
Thank you.
So you're going to sit there and get drunk on camera?
Basically, yeah. I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to be practicing. So we're going to have that on Saturday at noon on Phil TV in HD, and that will be our special bonus coverage right here. All right, we're going to bring Jack Armstrong back on the show. He was with us last night, and tonight we're not going to be talking about spying. We're going to be talking about healthcare, the healthcare program, Obamacare. You know, it's a really fascinating process. As I was saying to my good, close, personal friend, Matt, our engineer, it said, you know, this is something that every developed nation in the... Well, not every developed nation, but every major Western nation, almost to a country, it's something that they've had for decades, if not a century or more. The idea of national health care originated in Germany in the 1880s. It was one of Bismarck's, Otto von Bismarck's ideas. You know, Bismarck, that guy was the...
Who's he?
He was a big man. He was like the George Washington of Germany.
I thought that was Hitler. Yeah.
What do you mean you thought that was Hitler? He wasn't George Washington. Are you an idiot or something?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about a good guy, not some scumbag. Hitler.
Well, Bismarck was not George Washington, but...
Well, he wasn't George Washington, but he was a lot more autocratic, and by that I mean more dictatorial, but nonetheless, Bismarck had a modern vision for Germany. He helped bring together the country, because it was a country of little small nation-states before it became Germany. And before it became all these little nation-states, it was a part of something called the Holy Roman Empire, which had only dissolved... In 1801 or 1802, it had 500 years, just about, the Holy Roman Empire had existed. And now, all of a sudden, from the end of the Holy Roman Empire in 1801 to the beginnings of Germany in the 1880s, you had, you know, there was a lot of catching up to do.
They had to get up to speed on stuff. Yeah, well, they got up to speed, and then they did something even more modern.
Well, that's a good point. They went from being almost feudal. I wouldn't say they were feudal.
You better tell him what feudal means.
Do you need to know what feudal means?
I know what I mean. It means it's hopeless.
Not feudal. F-U-E-D-A-L. Feudal. It means it was a form of land ownership and how people worked the land. People who were under the feudal system were essentially tied to the land as slaves. Okay?
Yeah, we had that.
Well, yeah, we had slavery, but it wasn't feudalism. It was a different thing. Anyway, so they went from that to the modern nation state of Germany and health care, national health care. So they went from, like, being way, way, way behind us to catch... Well, they didn't catch up necessarily in terms of governance and enlightenment, but the idea of a national health care plan, which was floated by Germany and then adopted by a lot of countries, we're still getting used to the whole idea of it not being total commie. You know, we're so... In this country, we are so... We're really... bullied and muscled by, these days, more than ever before, these very, very vocal political minorities are pushing everybody around, yelling and screaming and threatening, you know, and saying, and all this stuff. I mean, good God, you know, if I was a member of the Tea Party or any of this, I would be embarrassed. You know, I would be embarrassed. I would say, well, no, wait a second, I don't have the majority here. What am I doing? It's screaming and threatening, and I think I'm right. Boy, that is the height of mental illness, when you think that you're cool and everybody else around you is a nutcase. That's called crazy. But in any event, this is a plan, this is an idea, national health care, that countries have had and adopted for over a century, many of them. And yet here in America, we still look at it like we're a bunch of, like we're a bunch of those monkeys at the beginning of 2001, and we see that, you remember that, the ape, and they went and they saw that monolith?
What? What do you mean?
In the movie 2000... Never mind, you didn't even see the flick. In the movie 2001...
I saw 2001, yeah.
All right, you remember when the apes came out of the cave and they saw the monolith and they were going... They went nuts?
I thought it was when a guy threw the stick in the air.
In any event...
This is what you get for involving these jackasses in the conversation. Just talk to the audience and forget these two numbskulls.
Well, I'm just trying to figure it out.
Don't worry, man. So... Almost like those apes in 2001, we come crawling out of the cave and we look at this thing like it's like those natives in Mondo Cani worshiping the airplane. They didn't know that it could fly, that it could transport cargo. They thought it was a god. They thought it was some kind of an angel from heaven. They turned it into a religious icon. I mean, that's the way we are. We look at healthcare as... We almost look... The people on the right look at healthcare the same way people on the left look at guns, like it's some evil spirit. And it's going to just mess you up. So what we got here is all kinds of cross-propagandizing on this issue. We'll get Jack Armstrong here on the line to talk about it. But the big issue is the fact that some of these insurance companies are canceling people, according to the administration, after the fact. After the Affordable Health Care Act was passed, letters went out suddenly telling people that they were going to be dropped because of this, that, and something else that was a part of the Affordable Care Act. And that is not legal, and it's not a part of the deal, if you will. And Obama came out today and addressed that. Then you got Kathleen, this lady, the secretary, at least the individual overseeing this whole thing, Sebelius. Man, she's... Talk about... If you're taking credit for screwing it up, ma'am, you maybe want to take credit for just, like, getting fired. That'd be great.
Well, let's just wait and see. You want to put this woman on the fire? You want to burn her at the stake like any witch in Salem? I'd like to take a wait-and-see attitude.
What do you mean by that?
What do you think I mean by that, a wait-and-see attitude?
Well, what are you waiting for?
I'm waiting to see.
Waiting to see what?
I'm waiting. Don't worry about what I'm going to see. And quit looking at me like that.
All right, we'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show, Wait and See. All right, that's fine. We'll take a wait-and-see attitude. It's a world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Our number is 855... 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Don't forget online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Watch that live streaming video cast tonight, as well as our bonus show on Saturday at noon as we prepare for, you know, Drunk History. World famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show, and welcoming back on the air for a second consecutive night because, frankly, I got a phone call from, and it's not because I got a phone call from you, Jack. I think you do deserve to have another hearing. Jack Armstrong is joining us.
What?
Hold on for a minute, okay?
First of all, Phil, let me thank you very much for allowing me to come back on the program. Secondly, for Mr. Dickman there, who wanted to have a contretemps, as Phil put it last night, you know, I'd be more than happy to debate you on any of these topics, but I would ask that I'm allowed to have my say.
Well, you got your say last night, and you went blah, 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 blah.
Okay, that's your feeling on it, bud, but tonight we're talking about something else. We're talking about health care. This is really important. People need to understand exactly how it works. And to that end, that's why we wanted to have you on here.
Well, Phil, can I... Jack, this is Margaret.
Okay, Margaret, one thing, okay?
No, I want to say something first.
No, one thing. I heard you call me a mental midget when I got out the air last night. You called me a mental midget.
Well, Jack, at the time, I felt you had been a bit mentally midget-like... Mentally midget-like, yes.
Okay, so I'm mentally midget-like. Wow, it's amazing what happens when a guy hangs a telephone up.
All right, so we're going to call everything even. We're wiping the slate clean. We've got Jack on here because I know you have some things you want to say about Obama's address on health care, and I know you feel that there has been a lot of misunderstanding. And
Phil, the first thing that needs to be said, I think, is that people need to understand what the law is and to be clear on it, because there's a lot of misleading information that people are putting out there on purpose. They want this law to be misunderstood. They want the law to be not used or not used properly, so that it will eventually fall out of favor, and that the legislation will be passed to change it. Now, Obama had made a very good point. If you're getting letters from an insurer telling you that you're going to be dropped, they have to at least offer you the minimum coverage, and then while they offer you the minimum coverage, you can shop around.
What is he saying, man? I don't understand anything.
God, man, are you going to shut your mouth so I can finish what I'm going to say?
Hold on here, okay? Because it's just, we're not going to get anywhere.
No, nobody don't. You're going on, man, on and on and on. Bud's right about that. Just going la, 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 la.
Hey, let me tell you something, man. I'm not going la, 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 la. The only thing that's happening, you guys button in.
Hold on, will you? What, Margaret?
I have to agree with the guys, Jack. What you're going, and then I did. No one's listening to you.
What do you mean no one's listening to me? I'm saying English words, ain't I? Ain't I saying English words? Phil.
Yes, you are. You're saying the English words, and you're saying that President Obama made things clear today. I wonder if there's a way that we could...
make it more entertaining or something.
Hey, what are you talking about more entertaining? I listen to you mumble. You talk about blah, 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 blah. I never heard a guy mumble his way through nothing the way you do.
Yeah, but at least when he says something, you pay attention to it. You're talking about stuff, no one gets it.
Yeah, Jack, I think you need...
No. Hold the phone. Hold the phone here for just a second. Hold the phone. You know, this is a very... I thought you were progressive, Ms. Gray. I know that you're progressive, right?
Yes, I am progressive. I do consider myself progressive, but I think what you're doing with this particular line, if you will, with this particular monologue or this, there's something wrong with it. I don't know what it is.
Okay, you know, thank you very much, Mr. Henry. I tried to come on here and...
I know what it is, because you got an accent and you won't admit that you come from another country.
So that's the way, that's the game we're going to play, huh?
Well, so what is this again?
He's got an accent, he won't admit.
What country do you come from, please?
I said I come from America, and oh, baby, are you trying to tell me that...
Every time you come on a program, your accent is very noticeable, and I want to know where you come from.
Why do you guys need to know where he comes from?
Because it's bugging me, that's why. coming on here going, I got the duck, you sound like, I asked you if you come from Germany.
I told you I don't come from Germany. I told you. I said I come from America, United States of America.
Where were you born?
Oh, man, so you have the disease too, huh, Mr. Henry? You don't believe me?
Look, if you say you're from America, I believe you. I just wanted to know what city you're born in.
I was born in Chicago, Illinois.
Born in a hospital in Chicago?
Yeah.
And your parents, where are they from?
You know something? This is very insulting to me.
Jack, please, you know that I'm on your side.
I used to think that you were.
What? Where are your parents from? Where were your parents born?
In America.
Yeah, listen, in America!
Do you think you sound so manly sometimes? I listen to you blubber and babble. You sound like you just came out of electroshock half the time I listen to you.
Yeah, right there. See, at the time I listen to you. And nobody's going to take it seriously coming out of a foreigner. I'm just telling you that.
That's about the most bigoted, xenophobic, just very, very irrational and prejudicial kind of thing. I don't like that kind of thinking, okay? No one's going to take it seriously coming out of a foreigner. He's an American citizen, right, Jack?
Yeah, if I was born here, do you think I would be an American citizen? Well, let me think on that for a couple. Oh, yeah, yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Well, Jack, all right, so your parents were born here.
You know something? I don't get it.
You do have an accent, man.
I got... What accent do I have? You know who else has an accent? A guy who comes from the South has an accent.
A guy that comes from the South comes from the South. A guy that comes from the Northeast comes from the Northeast. I never heard an accent like yours anywhere in America.
I'm telling you, this is a standard Chicago accent.
Get out of here, will you, man? I've heard Chicago accents. That ain't no Chicago accent.
Well, now I've seen it all. So I thought maybe you were on my side, but even now you're joining this mob, which is like a lynch mob or something, to say to Jack Armstrong, hey, foreign boy, tell me, you know, where you come from before I take from you... to take your opinion from you.
No, it's not even your accent, man, but your grammar, I mean, the vernacular, everything sounds, it just sounds fractured. It just, all right, if you say you're from Chicago, I believe you're from Chicago.
Yeah, you say that, but you don't for me to believe me, do you? Do you?
I'll tell you right now, I don't.
Well, I know you don't because your mind is not right. Your mind has never been right since the first time that I come on this show.
But see, your accent's getting even more thick. From Chicago? You're from Chicago. Okay.
Well, that's fine. I'll accept that. It's between you and God, really.
It's between me and God. In other words, I'm lying to you, and so you to think that I'm telling a lie. Is this what for you to think?
You come from Chicago.
Yes, I come from Chicago.
You know, guy from Chicago talk like that. I know that.
How does a guy from Chicago talk?
A guy from Chicago talks like an American with a Chicago accent. You got an accent like you're from... Well.
Oh, yeah? Okay, go ahead, say it. Where do I sound like I come from? Serbia? Is that it? Is that what you wanted to say?
Yeah, you sound like you come from one of them countries where they have, like, the NATO bombed them.
Yeah, that's Serbia, or someplace like that.
You sound like Mass, what do you call it, Montenegro.
A Negro?
Montenegro, you dumbass!
Hey, you know, I don't need this bullcrap. You know, I got water boiling. I'm going to make some Lipton soup and probably put some tuna helper. I don't need this bullcrap.
Okay, so thank you very much, everybody.
Phil, you joined in along with everyone else.
Well, no, you're right. But, you know, I mean, when he said Montenegro, you've never heard of Montenegro?
I never heard of Montenegro.
Well, it's part of the Balkanization, that whole Balkan states thing. That was one of them, okay?
I thought that was a country.
It is. Montenegro is a country. Herzegovina. I mean, there's a bunch of these small little nations, small little countries that used to be a part of Yugoslavia. And they were broken up after the fall of the Iron Curtain. They had a hell of a terrible war down there because there were a lot of bad feelings simmering. But that's neither here nor there. We just drove that guy off the air asking him about where he's from.
Well, do you really want someone on the air that's lying through his dirty, thieving...
Yeah.
Nazi? Well, who is he and where is he from?
He says he's from Chicago and his name's Jack Armstrong.
And he writes a liberal blog and he's this and he's that.
Nonetheless, Jack, if you're out there, the offer stands. You know, I'll have you on and we'll just herd everybody out of the studio. How about that? Yeah, that's going
to
happen.
Well, I mean, you know, I'll leave if you want to leave. But that guy's going to lie through his teeth, man, about where he come from.
It's not important, man. You guys made a big, big thing out of that.
Yeah, but the more he lied, all of a sudden he's like, I couldn't understand. I did understand him. So, I'm sorry.
Get out of here with that, will you?
Ow.
You're picking up your bad habits.
My bad? You're blaming me for that.
Yeah, because you're the one that... All right, folks, thank you very much. That was just fantastic. So we're going to be back here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. We will try to get a little bit more opinion on the healthcare law and some other news that's been happening here, man. By the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but somebody is suing Twitter for... someone's suing Twitter because they say their IPO is illegal or something. So we'll find out how Twitter rolls out, if they roll out.
Who's suing them?
I don't know. Maybe Facebook. Wouldn't that be a riot? World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Online at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. We'll see you guys on the other side here. Famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, and welcome back to the program. Go to some phone calls here because there's all kinds of opinion on the healthcare rollout or lack thereof. You know something? I don't know. I really don't know. I will tell you this. I'm one guy that I'm not going to go down the Bill Maher route, which is the following thing. Hi, I'm getting older, so I think the whole country's going to hell and pretty soon the world will end. I don't do that. I don't play that, see?
What are you talking about that?
Because there's a lot of old guys. Let's go to a phone call. We got a guy.
Yeah, it's Dan.
All right, Dan in Austin. Dan, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for taking my phone call. How are you this evening?
Good.
Phil, I've got to take exception to your comments regarding Obamacare. I think that it, right now has the earmarks of a disaster. In terms of the rollout, you're talking about these insurance companies are not... coming through with the law says that they've got to offer an affordable plan. If they're cutting people back in their plans, that they have to offer the basics, or they're going to increase their payments. I think is what you're saying, right?
What the president is saying.
Well, it doesn't matter. I didn't mean to interrupt you. It doesn't really matter because what Obama said in the speech today is that you can shop around. He said if they're cutting back, and I thought that's what he said. Did you hear his speech at all?
I heard him say was that they were...
Oh, for grins, let me say this.
Do you want me to hear what... Do you want to hear what I...
Oh, just for grins, let me say this. That Obama has said in the past that if you lose your... You're not going to lose your coverage. You can hold on to the coverage that you want. I think is what he said that. And I'm just asking you to back me up on that.
Yeah, he did say that. But he also said that if you are...
No, okay, but he did say that.
Well, don't keep interrupting me, man, okay? Okay.
Okay.
What the hell?
Are you all right?
Yeah, I didn't want to do anything.
Hey, is this Danny?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, man? I just said, would you quit interrupting me?
I don't know. What is it?
Okay, well, see you later, man.
Oh, yeah, sure.
What the hell was that?
There's a guy named Danny.
I know that. I saw that on the screen. That's a guy?
That is a guy. You were talking to him.
Well, it sounds like when you chastised him, he broke down and sort of reverted.
Reverted? Sounds like he's got a multiple personality problem.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Multiple personality problem. Is what I would think.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. All right. By the way, it is someone's birthday today. Who is our listener who has the birthday? Is it Mark? I think it's one of our Facebook friends, Mark. Our number here is 855-500-7445. The reason why I'm mentioning Mark is because we got Harvey Wireman on the line, and Mark wanted to hear from Harvey. Harvey, how are you doing this evening? And thanks for joining the program. Are you out to dinner this evening?
Oh, you know, Phil, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to get a nice hot bath, and I'm going to have some dinner this evening, and just settle in and just sort of enjoy the evening. It's a guy like me, I'm working all the time.
You know, you're into your 80s now, and you're still working every day, huh?
Oh, yeah. I enjoy my work, and I hope I'm still doing some good, you know.
What when you go into the office, you're working as an attorney, and most of what you do now is pro bono, right?
Yeah, a lot of it is pro bono, you know, and I rarely take a fee now. I'm thank God, knock wood, I'm comfortable in my dotage here, but I I do. I have a fair amount of pro bono, which for people that don't understand what that is, it means you're working for free. But,
and so you're going, what cases are you working on right now?
Well, I've got a couple of very interesting. We've got dealing with lawsuits, and a lot of these are product failure, having to do with personal injury. We do have a couple of cases we're taking that they're not part of the Innocence Project, but they are having to do with wrongful conviction.
And are these capital cases?
Yes, they are capital cases, and so we're working on those.
So a typical day for Harvey Wireman going to the office is what?
Well, a typical day for Harvey Wireman going to the office is depends on where you want me to start.
Well, let's say you're just walking through the door.
Just walking through the door, I come in, I give my coat and my hat to Shireen, who's she's been our receptionist and our secretary and kind of a girl Friday for about 15 years now. And then I sit down at the desk and open the window and take a look outside because it's, you know, we have a very beautiful view out here onto the Huntington Library grounds, Phil, which, as you know, is part of the San Marino area where my office is. And then I have a Starbucks coffee, and I will go online a couple times and check my Facebook page, you know, because everybody has one of those now.
You're on Facebook, huh?
You're on Facebook, Harvey. I want you to friend me, okay?
Who said that?
This Robert.
Yeah, sure. He can send me a friend. I think I'm maxed out at 5,000, but and I go over to Twitter and fool around there for a few hours, maybe a couple hours, not really that much, but what I'm doing, but, you know.
Well, you got all this legal work, though, right?
Yes, I was going to say, how much time can you spend on Twitter and Facebook?
I don't spend a lot of time on Twitter. I just hold the phone here for a minute.
No one's saying that. I mean, just, so you're in the office, you...
Yeah, I'm in the office, I have a Starbucks, I look out the window, and I go on Facebook, and then I go on Twitter. I'm also on LinkedIn, and I check any messages that I've got there, and... photo bucket, you know,
So what's on photo bucket?
Yes.
What's on photo bucket? Photos.
You know? Oh, no, I know that, but are you sending photos?
I'm getting photos mostly. I don't send photos that much, but I do get some, and no, it's not what you're thinking. It's not pornographic.
I wasn't thinking that at all. I just was curious.
Well, I know what you're thinking. Are they from females? The answer to that is probably yes, but...
Well, I thought you had the little girlfriend now.
I've got the little girlfriend. You know, let me just finish. You asked me what I'm doing, okay?
Yeah, but I wanted to ask you specifically about the cases that you're involved in.
Oh, no, the question was, what do I do?
Okay, that's fine, and I'm glad that you're telling me, but I wanted to know about the cases you're involved in, this product failure, the product failure cases. I'm very interested in these cases of wrongful conviction.
All right, well, you're talking in that sense. There's criminal and there's civil.
Well, let's talk about those cases, the criminal cases, where you feel there was wrongful conviction in these capital cases. Who are the people?
Well, before I get to the people, I've got the file here. One of them is a guy named Jerry Doyle. No, not Jerry Doyle. Jerry's the talk show host, excuse me. Jerry McKinney, and he's in Washington State. But what I generally will do is I'll get the folder out, and I'll order some lunch, and get one of these roast beef sandwiches from across the street at the Ralph's Market, and have a lunch, and I'll have the folder out, and then we'll get some more. I guess you're going to be upset with me because a lot of what I do has to do with going out and getting chips. And
okay, that's fine. Can you tell me about the cases?
Yes, Harvey. We're not, you know, criticizing how you spend your. We're just wondering.
Well, you are criticizing, sort of. You say, well, yeah, can we get to it? Can we get them? I'm getting to it.
All right. So far, you get into the office, you check your Facebook account.
You're asking me about the case.
Yeah.
No, now I've ordered a roast beef sandwich.
All right, and chips?
Yes. And chips. I don't want you to think all I do is sit on my ass and eat. I'm telling you, so I've got the folder out. I get on the phone. A lot of times I'll get on the phone with Bob Prinsip, who is a guy that I've golfed with, and now we have a, because I'm older, I can't golf, so we have a lawn bowling league. And I get on the phone with him, and...
Is he a lawyer?
No, sir, he's not a lawyer.
Well, okay.
May I finish?
Go ahead.
I get on the phone with him, and I find out what the schedule is for this weekend because of a lawn bowling, a lawn blower, excuse me, a lawn blowing, not lawn blowing, on a...
Lawn blowing?
I said lawn bowling, not lawn blowing.
Well, how do you spell lawn? L-O-N?
Isn't that funny?
Okay, Margaret, we don't need that.
Well, I'm trying to find out when you do actual work.
I'm doing work every day of my life. I'm doing work right now talking to you people. Okay? I go into the office. I have a bag of chips. I look at my Facebook page. I look at my Twitter page. I call Bob Princip, who is with the lawn bowling league that we're in. I look out the window. I go out and I get a roast beef sandwich. I get Starbucks. I come back. I open the folder on the Capitol cases. And now this is early afternoon, so I'm going to lay down and take a nap, or is that against the law?
Well, so far, Harvey, you've been eating, looking at Facebook and Twitter, and you're taking a nap. When do you work on the case?
You asked me, Hendry asked me, what is a typical day like? And I'm telling you.
Okay, I mean, do you ever actually work?
Yes, I work on these cases. Do you mind if I get to it?
All right, so now what time is it? And
it's 7:45.
No, I mean in the day when you take the nap.
I take it about 1:00. All right, so...
Well, do you work late?
Yes, sometimes I do work late, yes. So I sleep till 2 or 3. I get up. I will probably get another coffee, and that's when I go downstairs to get a cigar.
All right, so now we're at 3:00, and you haven't done anything yet, and you got a guy who's sitting on death row.
Well, will you get a load of you? And you're not even paying the hourly fee, and you're telling me how to run my life and my practice? Get a load of you. You people call me up. You ask me, what's a typical day? Hey, Harvey, we got a guy that listens to the show that really likes you. So here I am telling you about it. I get up, I go downstairs to get a damn cigar. And you're telling me that. So what do you want to know?
When do you start working, man? You got in at 9:00 and you're on your Facebook page.
I'm on my Facebook page. I check Facebook like any other human being checks Facebook every couple of hours.
All right, so you got the cigar.
I got the cigar. I come upstairs. You're going to hate this. I go back on Facebook to see if there's any messages. And I'll check Twitter, and I guess you're despising me for that, right?
Well, that's the second time on Facebook, and you haven't gotten to this case yet.
Is that right, Mr. McKinney? Are you the guy that's going to be burned down for this?
No.
Well, then I don't think it's any of your... This guy, I'm in constant contact with, this inmate. He's on death row in whatever state. I forget the state.
Well, this man is on death row, and you don't even know what state it is.
This man is on death row.
You know what? I got better things to do than... I got better things to do than hold her tampon box.
Well, don't look at me, Phil. I was asked, and you agreed with me.
Yes, I did. I did. You're absolutely right. I'm just, I'm stunned that he...
Are you crying?
I'm not crying. No, I'm actually trying to swallow a mouthful of bile, liver bile. All right, thank you. And to the gentleman that requested a Harvey Wireman appearance, there it is. So what do you do when you get into the office, Harvey? Well, I go on Facebook, Twitter. He's got a guy sitting on death row somewhere.
Well, this is why people don't like lawyers. And I'm married to one. I'm sorry, Phil, but I...
Yeah, that's fine. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is why people don't like...
There's no sense in mocking me.
Anyway, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thanks so much, Harvey, for that very edifying appearance. Unbelievable, man. And the fact that this guy is... You know, I gotta tell you something. I love Harvey. He's in his 80s. He probably ought to just lay down and take a nice, big, long nap someplace, you know, because, you know, this ain't looking too good for his reputation. I got a capital case, and I'm on Twitter. All right, Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Visit us online. Get a backstage pass. Join us for our bonus show on Saturday. Don't forget, we'll be on Drunk History. There's all kinds of things planned ahead for the Phil Hendry Show. But Drunk History, I'll be practicing for Saturday on our videocast. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. What the hell, bud? World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Dad, you like this song, Hey Little Girl.
No, I like it. I don't like it as bumper music, man. I thought we had some rock and roll going on in this thing.
You gotta get some rock and roll up in here.
Oh, do we now? Anyway, thank you. World famous Phil Henry Show.
What does that mean? Oh, do we now?
Well, yeah, we gotta get some rock and... I've got rock and roll, don't worry about it. All right, welcome back to the program. God.
What are you all sensitive for, man?
I ain't sensitive.
Well, everybody's all touchy.
Yeah, what's everybody all touchy about?
Hey, man, speak for yourself. I'm doing fine. Okay? The only guy that's touchy around here was that guy that called. Is he back?
Yeah, that Dan guy?
Yeah.
He's in Austin.
Yeah, I know. He called back, right?
Yeah, the Dan guy.
Yeah, the guy named Dan who was in Austin, who when I said something to him, he went, like that guy?
Yeah.
Can I talk to him? Is that okay with you, Mr. Phone Screener?
Yeah, right here.
Thank you very much. Where is he?
Oh, wrong line.
Hi, Dan. It's Phil Henry.
Wrong line, sorry.
Which line is it, bud?
Is this you? Yeah, right here.
Hey, Dan, Phil Henry here.
Wrong line, sorry.
I'm going to kick your ass, bud.
Sorry.
Hey, Phil, I've been sitting here saying hello to you. Sorry that I missed you, I apologize for my reaction. You're talking about Obama healthcare, and I got a little emotional, but I did call back.
All right, that's fine, and I'm sorry if I upset you. It was a miscommunication. So start again. And tell me what you wanted to say about that.
Well, I wanted to respectfully disagree with you, Phil. I enjoy your program a great deal, but I wanted to respectfully disagree with your estimation of Obamacare. First of all, you have to understand that the president may say that he guarantees health coverage that you will not be dropped, but that doesn't take into consideration the realities of the marketplace. And the realities of the marketplace are quite different, I'm sure, from what Barack Obama wishes that they were. You have,
Well, can I just interrupt you?
Why?
Hey, what is this, man? Are you okay?
Yeah, but why are you really with me? I can't do anything to you.
What is this guy, a mental case or something? Are you okay?
No, you're just gonna interrupt me, man.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I wanted to interrupt you to point something out.
What, can I finish?
What?
Can I finish?
What is the story?
Go ahead and finish.
All right, I'm sorry, Phil. I get emotional and I get a little bit choked up.
Can I ask you something?
What do you want, mental?
Get this guy out of here, will you?
What?
Well, are you listening to that guy? To me, there's something going on that says, cuckoo. I think that guy's wrong, you know?
What?
The guy that I just talked to, that guy Dan.
Yeah, that's the guy that said he got emotional.
Did you just hear him right now? I go, hey, can I interrupt you? And he goes, what are you doing?
I didn't hear it.
Yeah, that sounded to me like he was trying to get out what he was saying. You were butting in.
I wasn't butting in, man. I stopped the guy because I wanted to ask him a question, and he went...
What did he do?
He... Okay, all right, fine. What is this, April Fool's or something?
No, man, I didn't hear the guy, you know.
Did you hear him, bud?
Yeah, I heard him the first time. He started to cry, but I thought you apologized, and you guys were on the same page.
It isn't about me being on the same page. It's not about that at all. It's about the guy sounds like he's got a split personality. On the one hand, you know what I mean by that?
No.
By a split personality, on the one hand, the guy is like, hey, Phil, thanks a lot. It's great to be with you. And the minute I interrupted him, he goes,
what are you doing?
Oh, well, you got emotional.
No, that's more than emotional, man. That's way more than emotional. All right, wow. The most sensitive dark matter detector ever built has fit... That ain't him again, is it?
Yeah. Hey. Yeah? He said, Phil, he said if you could just be more gentle.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Phil, how you doing? I didn't mean to interrupt you. I got a little choked up because you have to understand, I lost my mother this year to a long, long bout of Lou Gehrig's disease, and I get emotional when I talk about healthcare. I hope you understand.
No, I understand. I understand. But it's such a radical change. Your voice is very dulcet and it's very masculine. And then when you got emotional, do you ever hear yourself?
I don't. I've been told by some. One of my ex-wife's brother-in-law said that I got a little squeaky one time. But generally, I think I handle things. Was I out of line or anything?
No, you weren't out of line. It was just that, all right, I guess it's just...
Different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, there you go. Different strokes for different folks.
All right, okay, so go ahead and tell me your feelings on Obamacare. okay. Is that somebody you know, bud?
I don't know who the guy is.
If you guys are screwing with me, man, I'm going to kill somebody. Do you understand?
Phil, you didn't even let the man say what he wanted to say.
The guy, did you hear that? Or am I all alone here?
What do you do, Mr. Go through it slow.
Yeah, go slowly so we can... Go slowly, huh? The people are listening to it at home. They know what I'm talking about. The guy started out with, hey, Phil, did you hear that part?
I did, yes. And then I had to turn around. I was getting something out of my handbag.
And then I said, okay, go ahead and say what you want. He goes,
well, I don't know.
Like that.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I didn't hear it.
You know what I suggest you guys do? Do your job and start paying attention to this show and to whatever is going wrong with it, make it right. And whatever's going right with it, try not to make it wrong, okay?
Do whatever's going right with it, make it wrong.
That's not what I said. I'm going to...
Ow!
Yeah.
Bent my finger back.
That's right. Okay, folks, that's, what do you want me to say? I mean, this is the kind of whack situation I got going on here with these guys. That guy calls back. You know what? Keep him on hold, and then we got to get Dr. Jim Sadler on the line, okay?
You want Dr. Jim Sadler?
I want to get Sadler on the line to talk to that nut, because that's what I think he is. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com and online at philhenryshow.com, so get that backstage pass. Thousands of hours of archived audio, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archived audio. And, of course, our daily video cast is available to you as well, and we'll have a bonus video cast on Saturday. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and welcome back here this hour. We have a baseball update, man. I don't know if this is it's close to a final. It says that the Red Sox are on the brink of winning the World Series. Maybe they already have by now, because I'm getting this from Google. And by the way, Google and Yahoo have reacted very strongly to the possibility that the U.S. government is spying on them, but everybody's got NSA on the brain, so...
Well, what are you talking about?
I mean, I'm saying that there was some report that, according to some documents that were leaked by Snowden, Google and Yahoo were the object or the subject of some data mining, I think is how they are referring to these days by the NSA. Now, Yahoo says they're not aware of anything like that. Google is outraged and is willing to go to the ends of the earth to make sure that it doesn't happen, as if they aren't doing it themselves. Now then...
What's that mean?
I mean, what's the difference between the U.S. government taking your information and doing anything they want with it and Google?
Well, the U.S. government can put you into a prison cell.
And Google can bankrupt you. Google can destroy your reputation. What are you talking about? They can put me in a... I don't know whether I'd rather be in a jail cell or have all of my personal information given over to a large corporation that can do anything it wants with it, including manipulate my credit. You know, it's very interesting to me how people are, on the one hand, against corporations, but on the other hand, give everything. I mean, everything. Personal information, credit card information, home address, how many kids, how many times that you have ever done things bad, including, you know, in public. It's all over.
What? What do you mean in public?
You ought to know what I mean.
Da-ha-ha. I don't get it.
Yeah, I know you don't get it. In any event, so Google is acting all outraged. And before you start jumping on the bandwagon and feeling sorry for Google, just remember what I said. I don't know whether any of this is as it appears. One of the things about life, especially when it comes to news, nothing is as it appears. Nothing. And you can say, well, here is a law, and then you could say, and here is the act, and this clearly violates that law, and... Unless you're reading the law right, you're not really reading the act right and whatever it is they're supposedly doing. And I know that Eric Snowden is a big, he's a big hero, or should I say hero, to a lot of people, but I'll just wait and see. As far as Google goes, Google has my email account, and that means, let's just think about this for a minute.
Well, Google, if you use Google, so they know what computer you're on, they know the IP address, let's just say Google could take what they know about you and use that. So they know what computers you're on, where you log in from. They know your email account.
Yeah.
They don't, and they know a password.
Well, that goes without saying.
And so they know. Do you do any online banking?
Yes, I do.
Well, then they've got all of that.
Well, okay. But they didn't have it up until very recently, because they didn't do online banking until very recently.
Well, good for you, Phil. They didn't have it until... Hey, there you go.
Well, I mean, so what are you saying? Are you telling me that I'm supposed to fear the NSA, but Google I just feel all warm and fuzzy about? So what are you telling me?
Just saying what Margaret said, put you in a jail cell.
That's overly simplistic. That's way overly simplistic. The practical experience of most Americans is what can happen to your credit, what can happen to your reputation, what can happen to your personal information. That's our practical experience. Going into a prison cell or a jail cell, I don't have any worries about, okay? What I do have, because this is the real immediate thing in my life, what I do have worries about are credit theft, identity theft, things like that. And I willingly turn over all of that to Google. So you can get people talking about how, well, I'm much more concerned about the NSA and the government. Yeah, I've heard all of that horse dung, but the practical reality is something different. The practical reality is your ass is up for grabs, man, every time you put your name out there or your Social Security number, because there's identity theft going on, and that's been the experience of far more Americans than getting slammed in the gulag. So I'll say it again. What are you more afraid of, the government or Google? I say, give me Google or...
Give you death?
No, I say...
No, hear that. If I get Google, I'll get death.
Whatever. So, yeah, that's kind of it. All right, 855... 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff in Temple City. How you doing, Jeff? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Phil, I wanted to ask you about the Kennedy assassination. I haven't talked on your program lately, but I have been seeing some news online about the Kennedy assassination. I wonder if you had an opinion about it.
About what?
Well, about, do you buy that it was Lee Harvey Oswald, or do you think that it was more than one, or do you think it might have been a conspiracy or something?
You know, you're moving in and out of the phone there, Jeff.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you think it could have been a conspiracy?
Back off the phone a little bit, man.
Do you think it could have been a conspiracy about it?
Here's what I think about the,
Because the thing I saw on TV, they were saying it could have been the mafia.
I don't believe it was the mafia.
You don't?
No, I don't believe it was the mafia. I think it's far more likely that it was a bunch of people that were pissed off at Kennedy over civil rights. And I think it's far more likely that it's a bunch of people that were pissed off at Kennedy over the Civil Rights Act and the liberalizing of the law, the federal law, and so on and so forth. I think they had more immediate access, if you will, to the president. I mean, let's think about this, man. The Cubans, and I'm not saying that it was the Klan or anything. I think it was Lee Harvey Oswald, who was a right winger. You know, in my opinion,
that's not really how it looked. Lee Harvey Oswald was more of a lefty.
Yeah, no, I know that. I know that was the but I think the guy, Lee Harvey Oswald was a cat that was for hire. Let me put it that way. Whether he was a lefty or righty, I don't know. But he was a guy for hire. He was a guy, a soldier of fortune, a guy who wanted to do something. He wanted to be something. He was a cat that went to the Soviet Union, and that didn't work out. Then he's fair play for Cuba, and that didn't work out. And he wanted to, and he was a Marine, and that didn't work out. This was a guy that wanted to be a part of history, a guy that wanted to do something, change something, anything. And I think he got a hold of, or some people got a hold of him, and I think they were a bunch of right-wingers that were pissed off at Kennedy for civil rights, okay?
All right, so you do think that was a conspiracy of some kind?
Yeah, you know, I think there was more than one guy hanging around that thing. I'm not saying it's a big-ass... You know, I don't believe that it was some big, far-reaching conspiracy. I think it was some people in the government, not all that organized, pissed off, maybe not even in the government, just some people who had some contacts, pissed off, got a hold of Oswald, took a shot, and if you'll pardon the expression, and...
Well, that's rather vague. I don't think you're being very clear.
I'm not being clear. I'm not being clear. What do you think, Jeff?
Well, you know, see, that's the thing. I mean, I think right now the facts are pointing to...
Get closer to the phone, will you?
Sorry, I think that right now the facts are pointing to the very real reality, I think, that it was probably the mafia or the Cubans. And
there's something wrong with his phone.
Get off the phone, man.
You didn't get off the phone.
You're way too close up to it.
What are you yelling at him for?
I told him.
Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that I think it was the Cubans about the missile crisis and a Bay of Pig, too. And I think that makes way more sense.
Well, maybe, but the one thing I don't believe, I don't believe that it was a huge-ass, big-ass organized conspiracy, because sooner or later, man, real people are going to be surfacing that were associated with this. I understand that the government is really good at covering crap up. I get it. And I understand that it's so convenient that people start dying, the ones that knew this, that. But I'm telling you, it's not making any sense. I don't connect the dots like that. I want the stuff to be straight on. There's an actual factual connection here. To me, it looks like Lee Harvey Oswald was a guy that wanted to go out with a bang. Again, pardon the expression.
Well, that's pretty, a lot of the things you're saying.
Dude, man, we can't even hear you.
Jeff, we can't hear you, man.
I'm sorry I said that a lot of what you're saying makes sense, but still in all, there were a lot of people who didn't like him.
Yeah, there were a lot of people who didn't like Kennedy. There's no question. And there are a lot of people that liked him. There's a lot of people that don't like every president. There's not a president around that doesn't have people that hate his guts. Are you kidding? Come on, look at this one. I mean, it's a fact of American life. But Oswald was a guy that was going to take out Kennedy and change history. I believe that was what he felt was his, destiny, if you will. And he was hired by some people, I think. I don't think it was just a guy that's going to climb up to a window in a Texas school book depository and, hey, who knows, let's roll the dice, maybe I'll get a shot off and kill the guy. This is a cat that he obviously had done some homework, or someone did homework for him. The people that were really pissed off at Kennedy in those days, there were a lot of them, man, but I can't think of anybody more pissed at him than the Southern segregationists and the and people that proved years later that they had so much enmity for the government that they killed Martin Luther King too.
Right. So you think Martin Luther King was killed by Cubans?
No, I didn't say Cubans, man. Right wingers.
Talk about the Klan and stuff.
Not the Klan, but
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Mr. Henry. Because I'm talking to
God, man, would you get these cats straightened out?
I told the guy to back off the phone.
Guy's giving a lip job to the phone. All right, so there you go, man. That was my very unclear. You're right, Margaret. That wasn't very clear at all. I don't know what the hell it was I was thinking, but world-famous Phil Henry Show will be back with more here, more news. U.S. government posts the smallest what since 2008. You ain't going to believe this. World-famous Phil Henry Show. I told you once and I told you twice. All right, it's world-famous Phil Henry Show here at 855-500-7445. Red Sox on the brink of World Series title. Shane Victorino returned to the Boston Red Sox lineup in a big way on Wednesday night and put his team on the brink of a world championship. The score that we have now is 6-1 Cardinals. I don't know what inning it is, but the press there seems to think that St. Louis is overmatched. And if you watch that game, the famous obstruction game, it was a desperation play like that. Well, I shouldn't say a desperation play, but it took a play like that for the Cardinals to even win that game, for them to take that 2-1 lead, an obstruction call, which is legal, and the Cardinals deserve to win it, but they won it on the by virtue of a play there that
well, he would have scored because Frank said that he would have scored anyway.
What did Frank know about it?
Excuse me, stupid.
Don't call him stupid.
Well, I'm getting tired of this guy. Bud, why don't you just put a sock in it, preferably soaked in gasoline?
Wow.
Yeah, that's...
Well, I'm saying Frank said they would have... He got obstructed. If he hadn't been obstructed, he would have gotten home faster.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, yeah. So that's what Frank said. I don't know.
All right, well, in any event, the Cardinals are on the verge of winning... the Red Sox are on the verge of winning the second World's Championship. And I don't know what it's been, 6 or 7 years, and just think, it had been so long since they'd won one in the 19, whatever it was, the Curse of the Bambino.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. All right, so, well, it means something to people in Boston, and that's,
What is that again?
I said it was a long time since they had won one because it had been, What's that supposed to be?
Crickets.
It doesn't sound like crickets. It sounds like you're standing out near a pond. It's been a long time, as I was saying, since... Will you turn that crap off, please? Since the Red Sox had won one, and that was the...
Why do they call it the Curse of the Bambino?
Because of Babe Ruth and the fact that they had traded Babe Ruth to New York. And the last World Series they won was when Babe Ruth was in the lineup. But they traded Babe Ruth to the New York Yankees, and thus began the historic New York Yankee championship. I mean, I don't even want to call it a run. The historic New York Yankee championship century. I mean, the New York Yankees are synonymous with Major League Baseball. And it all began, it can be argued, with the trade of Babe Ruth to the New York Yankees from Boston. And from that day forward until they won here early in this decade, early in the century, the Red Sox didn't win a World Series.
So why is it the Curse of the Bambino?
Are you listening to what I'm saying, Margaret?
Yeah, it's not making any sense.
Meaning when they traded him, it was a curse.
Oh, I see. All right. I don't know.
What's a Bambino?
That's a babe. Baby. Get it? Baby?
Baby Ruth?
Babe Ruth.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. A Bambino is Italian for a baby and a curse of the baby.
Well, why don't they call it a curse of a baby?
Because they don't want to call it the curse of the baby. Why would they want to call it that?
Because that's what it is.
The Bambino, you're right, but it's not... Bambino sounds better, man. It's Italian.
Well, that's because of all the Italians in New York, and they wanted to call him the Bambino.
Yeah, that's what they called him in New York. And I think that it became...
So they call him a Bambino's a baby, though.
Yeah, okay, it's a baby. So what's your point?
Then why did they call him Baby Ruth?
They did, man. The candy bar did.
That ain't Babe Ruth. That's a candy bar named after the daughter of a president.
Oh, you guys... You really... Talk about needing some medical... Talk about needing medical insurance.
Wait a minute. What are you griping about?
I'm not griping about anything. The three of you sound like three babbling idiots in a locked ward.
Wait a minute. I'm saying that Bambino is Italian for baby. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Babe Ruth goes to New York, and the Italian-Americans of New York and the fans and all of the people of New York call him the Bambino because he's hitting the ball out of the ballpark, and they love him, okay?
Yes.
Okay. As the years go by, they notice in Boston there's no World Championships being won. There's no World Series being won, and some bright boy, probably with a newspaper somewhere, realizes that they haven't won one since Babe Ruth got traded, and so somehow the idea of the curse of the Bambino. All right.
But the question is it Baby Ruth?
Yeah, because that's Bambino.
You guys are taking it way too literally. You don't have to say because it's Bambino, it's got to be Baby Ruth. Why isn't it Bambino Ruth?
Well, that's a good point.
No, it ain't a good point. The name is Babe. Anytime anybody is nicknamed Babe, it's Babe. I don't ever hear anybody nicknamed Baby. Do you?
What are you talking about?
Don't you know of people that are nicknamed Babe?
Yes, well, Oliver Hardy was nicknamed Babe.
Right, Babe Hardy. How about...
It's generally fat people, though.
It's generally fat people, huh?
Well, that's true. If you look at Babe Ruth and Oliver Hardy... They're fat.
Okay, they're fat. So fat people, so Babe Gleason, I don't know.
Well, it could have been, up until 2 years ago, it could have been Babe Hendry.
Very funny.
That is pretty good.
Babe Hendry. Yeah, so that's the whole thing, man. And they're not going to call... Baby Ruth was a candy... I'm not going to get into that whole thing again, Baby Ruth. Everybody knows it's a candy bar.
Not a very good one, either.
I think Baby Ruth's are pretty good, man.
Well, I mean, Baby Ruth, if you're telling everybody not to be dirty, but they couldn't have made a candy bar more perfect for somebody to just go, God, that's filthy.
Why is that?
Well, it's loaded up with peanuts and everything. It's all brown.
Oh, you know something, bud? It takes a jackball like you to think of something like that.
What are you talking about? That's what it is.
But a lot of people, you know, they'll melt one.
You know, that, and I'm sorry you brought that up, because... Jason J. Delmonico got the back of my hand, and he got it more than once. He got it about three times. It makes me emotional. My son, I hit him with the backhand. I came back with a forehand. I hit him again with a backhand, and then with a forehand, and not with a tennis racket, with my hand.
Across the face?
Yes. Because he took one of those, what is it called again?
Oh, Baby Ruth.
He took a Baby Ruth, slightly melted it in the microwave, and then placed it in the bed next to me as I was taking a nap. And I got up, and I immediately washed all the sheets. I made an appointment with Dr. Urban to go in because I thought I had some bowel problem or colon problem.
You mean he made it look like...
Yeah. Are you listening, Phil?
Oh, yeah, he made it look like a turd.
Would you Ow! Shut up. I'm not blurting it out.
He made it look like so it looked like a turd.
Yeah. You know what? All three of you, I hope the three of you... I hope the devil has his way with all three of you, and then you burn.
She's talking about...
Yeah.
So that's a practical joke, right?
Yeah, it's a joke. People melt the baby Ruth. It's all loaded up with peanuts and stuff.
And Margaret made an appointment with the doctor, huh?
Yes, I did.
But you hit your son four times?
Yes, and you want to know something? I've never gotten more satisfaction out of belting that kid in my life. Laugh if you will, Phil.
She smacked him back and bam, bam, bam.
It was like Anthony Hopkins in Silence of the Lambs, if you want to get a big laugh.
You mean when he was taking the stick?
Yes.
God.
Yeah, he's pissed off.
I guess so. So, Jason J. Delmonico, I guess no laughs at your house.
I don't mind a good laugh, Phil, but I'll be damned. I'll be damned if my son is going to make me think I crapped the bed.
Well, I can certainly understand that.
Uh-huh.
All right, so that's...
It's kind of jacked up.
Yeah, it's jacked up. Too bad about that, Jason J. Delmonico. You got to watch it there, brother. Because while life is for laughter and life is for fun, you know, things go better with Coke. I don't know, man. Anyway, we're going to take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com. Head on over to our backstage pass area and join us on Saturday for our bonus coverage as we practice for drunk history. Don't forget, we'll be at the San Francisco Sketch Fest in late January. And a whole lot of other fun things. By the way, only one day left to get a backstage pass and a free download with your backstage pass. Check it out at PhilHenryShow.com. Famous Phil Henry Show, and the Boston Red Sox are the world's champions of baseball. 6-1 final there at Fenway Park, so they win, so there it is. There's another...
There's definitely no curse of the Bambino.
There's definitely no curse of the Bambino and all of that stuff about Baby Ruth.
And the laughs that you got...
All right, Margaret, we're sorry, okay?
Well, you're all about...
Yeah, but your son made you think that you...
If you say it again, Bud, I don't care. He can fire me. You can call the cops, Phil. Get on the phone. Call the police. Because I'll hit him, and I've just turned that 3-carat ring around.
No, it's going to hit me in the face.
Really?
All right. There's no need to threaten with violence. Or maybe there is. Anyway, so yeah, the Red Sox win, and that's a groovy thing, man. It's a groovy kind of love. Congratulations, Sox. Go out and do it again. Not a big baseball fan here. I used to be. Used to play a lot. It's the kind of game that I like playing more than I like watching. I used to love it as a kid, and I think as the fortunes of my own favorite team declined, my own interest in the damn game declined as well. I think that was it.
What is it about football? The older a man gets, the more he likes football. What is that?
I don't know.
You're looking at Mr. Henry like you're all attracted to him.
Come here for a minute.
Wait. Ow!
Yeah.
She was warning you, man.
God.
What, in other words... Never mind.
No, I know. I don't know what it is about football. It may be George Carlin's old routine about how football is more militaristic and more regimented, and baseball is more pastoral and sort of like walking in the park, you know. And one of the things from that bit that I remember is that football is about real estate. You know, football is about gaining ground, and that seems to resonate with us the older we get, and the younger we are, I suppose we dig on baseball. But Boston is the winner, so there you go. Now, the U.S. government posts its smallest budget deficit since 2008. So that's got to be a typo. Obama must be lying. It's just got to be, because as you well know, any good news that comes out of the Obama administration, according to the Tea Party, has got to be made up. It's got to be, it's a false flag, it's a this, it's a that, it's something else. It can't possibly be real.
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm not. Yes, I'm kidding, but that's what they say. Tax increases, spending cuts, and a stronger economy nearly sliced America's budget deficit in half in fiscal 2013, lowering it to the lowest level since 2008. The federal government took in $75.1 billion more than it spent last month, leaving the deficit for the fiscal year, which runs from October to September, at $680 billion, down from $1.9 trillion in 2012. Good God. God, that's a lot of money, man. Washington took in about 80 cents for every dollar it spent over the year. The deficit widened sharply during the 2007 through 2009 recession, which hit tax revenues and increased payments for unemployment benefits. Higher tax receipts accounted for about 80% of the deficit's reduction. The budget gap has fallen at its fastest pace since World War II over the last 4 years, according to Treasury Secretary Jack Lew.
They got it reversed.
What?
They got that reversed. His name's Lew Jack.
Lew Jack?
Yeah.
It says Jack Lew.
Well, that can't be right, can it?
Well, why wouldn't it be right?
Well, it doesn't sound... Well, unless he's Asian.
Unless he's Asian. Well, maybe he is.
I think it's Lew Jack. If you look it up, it's Lew Jack.
Why would it be Lew Jack and not Jack Lew? What is your basis for saying that it's Lew Jack?
It sounds like Low Jack, Lew Jack, makes more sense than Jack Lew.
What do you mean Low Jack makes more sense than Jack Lew?
I didn't say I said Lew Jack sound like Low Jack.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is Lew Jack because it's more... It's a... I don't know. Lew... Jack Lew... I knew a Jack Lew, and that's not a Treasury Secretary, believe me. That's a guy that owns a nightclub. The Jack Lew that I knew. And the Jack Lew that I knew was a good man, but he owned clubs. He slapped women around, not me, but some of the other dancers.
That's fine. What's that got to do with this guy? I don't understand.
Just say it if you do your homework.
You do the homework, bud. You look it up. I'm betting money that the guy's name is Lew Jack.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean Jack Lew, okay?
All right.
I knew a Jack Lew, and he beat up dancers, but he was a nice guy.
So you think beating women is funny. Now I've heard it all.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. Hey, how come they let the guy who owns the team grab the microphone? They're interviewing the guy now who is the owner of the Boston Red Sox, and all of these ego cases are the same. Every time they put a microphone in front of them, they grab the mic. Do you notice that?
Yeah, it's a control thing, Phil, and I don't like it either. And you see, she surrendered control of the microphone to him. See, she's trying to hold on to the microphone, but he has his hand on it.
Yeah, because, like you say, it's...
Yeah, it doesn't. He thinks he's too stupid to know how to put a mic under his face.
Well, it is a control thing. He wants to make sure that he's heard. So look at him. He's got his hand on the mic. They always do that, don't they?
Yeah, I think they do because they're given the microphone at these testimonials and these dinners. And this guy is so used to having dinners being thrown for him and people licking his rear end, his wrinkled old rear. It just makes me sick.
Oh, take it easy, Margaret.
Yeah, people are used to licking his ass. And,
watch it, will you?
No, man. And now he's grabbing a microphone.
All right, so he grabbed the microphone. There's Tom Werner. He's the chairman of the Red Sox. This guy is talk about a successful guy. He owns part of that, doesn't he own part of that that soccer team over there?
Which one?
Liverpool.
Yes, he does own part of one of the English soccer teams, yes. I thought it was Manchester, Manchester?
No, that's owned by, I don't know who the hell owns them. Somebody else. It ain't Werner. Werner's got a piece of the Liverpool football team over there, and they obviously are part owners of the Boston Red Sox. So he made all of his money, Tom Werner, with Marcy Carsey. Was that her name?
Marcy Carsey. That sounds almost silly, but that may be her name.
I don't know, but he made all of his. I went to a party at her house once.
What?
I did. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I know. I know I did. I got invited to a party at her house. She lived over on off of Riviera Golf Course, and instead of a swimming pool, she had a waterfall. The whole thing was way too rich for me.
Yeah, well, that sounds about right.
Well, anyway, he was partners with her, and they had Roseanne, and I forget the other shows that they did.
Oh, they were a very successful producing team, and then Tom Werner decided to make the big break, took the money and ran, and invested in sporting teams and this sort of very, very smart man.
Obviously. And again, congratulations to, well, congratulations to these wealthy people who are now wealthier.
Hey.
Good going, Boston Red Sox, the world's champions. Now, getting back here to this, how did I get sidetracked with this whole thing?
Well, I noticed this guy grabbing the microphone from this woman, and I just felt it was a control thing. Nothing angers me more when I'm emceeing something, and I'm trying to interview someone, and they grab the microphone. There's never a time in my life when I have the instinct to knee a man in the groin. But when they do that, and you remember when I was there for the testimonial there at the new Performing Arts Center in Beverly Hills?
Yeah.
And who was it? Was it Bill Clendenin grabbed the microphone, and I couldn't help myself. I was wearing pants, and I threw my knee right up into his crotch, and he doubled over. I was very embarrassed. I tried to apologize. It didn't make any difference.
You kneed a guy in the crotch?
What, on the stage?
Yes, but I told him later, I said, don't ever grab the microphone from me. He looked stunned. He was absolutely stunned. He knows I'm married to an attorney, so there's nothing he could do.
But, I mean, the guy grabbed the mic, so you threw a knee up into his crotch.
Yes. I felt bad about it, because I felt some give, you know, and I don't...
Oh, come on.
I don't mean to be graphic, but when the knee went up there, I felt almost like something resisted and then gave way, almost...
Oh, God, man, you like they popped or something?
Get out of here, Willie. I don't want to hear any more about it.
Almost, yeah.
Oh, God. And you put him in the hospital?
He went in for evaluation, put ice on it. That's what they said. I said, how are you doing, Bill? I'm sorry. I tried to hold the ice there, and Frank, I realized it was inappropriate, but I wanted to do something.
You took the ice and tried to hold it over his crotch?
Not over, but... They threw me out, and I haven't spoken to him, but because I'm married to such a powerful attorney, he didn't...
He didn't sue?
Yeah. Well, what's mean?
I mean, he should have sued. He should have sued you for a lot. That's a terribly hostile, injurious thing to do.
Oh, well, okay, honey. Can be hot on you.
Yeah, I mean, come on, a guy's got to be a man about it.
Why? He just needs to man up.
Oh, no, wait a minute. No, a guy doesn't stand there and take a knee to the crotch... And the excuse is, let's man up. Come on, it doubled him up. Did he collapse in front of all those people?
Well, yes. Believe me, when I deliver a knee to the groin, you're not going to be standing. I mean, what makes you think...
Well, then, if he was humiliated in front of people, on top of having your knee going up there, and you felt some give, I mean, what the hell? And he dropped to his knees.
He hit his knees and then fell over forward on his hands. So he was kind of like just with his head down on all fours... groaning. I mean, it was bad. There's no question. But I leaned down and I said, don't ever, and I whispered it in his ear so no one would hear. I said, don't ever grab the microphone again. Don't ever do it again, Bill.
I'll bet you he hasn't had anything to do with you since.
No, he hasn't.
And you know why? Because he thinks you're psycho.
Because he knows that I bring it. He knows that I serve lunch.
Serve lunch?
You want to see me?
No.
Okay, so getting back to what it was I wanted to talk about, which was the U.S. government posting the smallest budget deficit.
I could get on the phone, if I could, I'd probably get on the phone, Bob Green.
About what, bud?
About Jack Lew.
Yeah, I want to know, does he know him?
I don't know.
Well, get Bob Green on the phone. The guy's name, it says Jack Lew. You guys are telling me his name is Lew Jack. He's the Treasury Secretary, for God's sake, so we ought to know what the answer to that is. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret Gray there giving us the inside scoop on kneeing some guy in the groin after he grabbed the microphone. I don't, you know, I first of all, I don't blame you for being upset that he grabbed the microphone. For kneeing him in the groin, I do. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. All right, welcome back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Bob Green here with us. And we're going to talk about the Treasury Secretary. It's not a big thing here, Bob, but I wanted to find out whether the guy is, what his name is, because we've had two different ideas on this. It says Jack Lew in the newspaper. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, I don't know, Phil. I don't really pay attention to the Treasury Secretary. I probably should.
as a businessman, but if you say it's Jack Lew, I got no reason to think that it isn't Jack Lew. I know that the other name sounded bona fide.
You don't know the name of the treasures. All right.
Well, no, why would I know that?
Because you're a businessman, you know.
We thought it was Lew Jack, Bob.
Lew Jack, it sounds like it could be the name, but the point that I think needs to be made here is that there was another story that I wanted to talk about that you guys are missing, and has far more in terms of serious implication, I think, for the economy than any story about Obama cutting the deficit in half. Because I happen to agree with, even though you were kidding and being sarcastic, I happen to agree. I'm very suspect of anything that I'm suspect of anything that Obama, releases as information.
So you don't believe that they've cut the deficit in half?
No, I don't. I find it very hard to believe because Obama said it. If it was anybody else, I'd believe it. But Obama, I don't believe it.
Why is that?
Why is what?
Why don't you believe it if Obama says it?
Because, it's not racist. It's got nothing to do with that. I have a difficult time believing anything that a guy says who, the jury's still out on his citizenship.
No, it's not. The jury's out on his citizenship. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. I think your mind is scrambled up for whatever reason. I don't know.
I told you that I didn't really want to talk about it. You don't have to agree with me, Phil, but I've just got a very hard time believing it. But let's say it's true. There was a headline here that I wanted to bring to your attention. Dark matter still missing after a 100-day experiment. Now, I know that this is not exactly my field, but dark matter is something that has been a theory among scientists, physicists, astrophysicists for a long time.
Okay.
You following me, right?
Yeah, I'm following you.
What is this? Is this your field now, Bob? I thought you were. I thought you ran a supermarket.
Well, ma'am, you can say that with all the kind of dismissive tones that you want.
No, nobody's dismissing you, but we wanted you on to talk about money, the Treasury Department, unemployment, etc. What are you talking about now?
I'm talking about dark matter. And
dark matter, which is an astrophysical term having to do with something that is pulling the universe apart, right?
That is exactly correct. Look at you, you get the big brain on film. Where did you get all this information?
Because I've read up on it. And I think we need to give people a little bit of a background before we go on, okay?
All right, well, dark matter, ladies and gentlemen, is what scientists theorize surrounds the known physical universe. The reason why they believe there is such a thing as dark matter is because the universe is not only expanding, but it is expanding at an ever-increasing rate of speed. One would think that were the Big Bang simply the impetus for this expanding universe, meaning there was an explosion and it sends all this matter racing out in opposite directions, that sooner or later that explosion's the propulsion from that would slow down. But the fact of the matter is, it's not slowing down.
Right, it's speeding up. And
Whoa. Am I telling it?
Well, yes, Bob, you're telling it, but Phil was going...
Yeah, but we don't need any help. I was telling it.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, Phil, just because I go home at night with a stink of celery on me, you don't think I could tell a story about science?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't say that at all, Bob. I thought I would. I don't know what I was thinking. I thought I would just throw in my 2 cents.
Well, even though I smell of red onion and celery when I come home at night, I got a lot of money and I do my reading and I wanted to do this, and now you're not going to let me?
Bob, he is letting you.
Well,
what is it with everybody bawling like a baby tonight? I don't understand this.
What do you mean, everybody calling? I didn't call in.
There was another guy that called in. He was crying.
Well, not me.
No, it's not. But what are you bawling about?
Because I wanted to tell a story about dark matter. You wouldn't let me.
I'm letting you, okay? Go ahead.
All right, let me back up. See, now everyone thinks I'm a baby.
Well, you are crying and stuff.
Yeah, that's because, Mr. Henry, dark matter is something that scientists think exists because the universe is expanding at an ever-rapid rate. So they think that there's gravity out there. They think that it's matter because matter has a gravitational pull in a, you know, sufficient size, and they think that that dark matter has a gravitational pull that is pulling the universe apart. And that's all I wanted to say.
Okay, I'm sorry, Bob. I didn't mean to upset you.
Good. Dude, you just shut up. You can shut your mouth long enough, I'm going to say this stuff.
All right, get out of here.
You're just picking up.
Well, you're making people cry, Phil.
I'm not making anybody cry. All I did was I jumped in, and this guy's all... And that other guy called from Austin. I don't know. This is some kind of... maybe they're all a St. Louis Cardinal fan. I'm kidding. I'm joking. Where is that story?
Right here, about dark matter.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, dark matter is... they can't... The thing about this story was that... is that him?
Yeah.
Oh, for God... Yeah, Bob. Where are you, anyway?
I'm at a carnival, okay? I pulled it together. I don't want you doing that. I want to do it. Dark matter is something that they theorize exists, but they're not sure now because they had a dark matter experiment that has not yet proven or detected any real dark matter. It's a it's called the LUX Dark Matter Collaboration, and it is an instrument that is supposed to be able to detect dark matter, and that's all I want. That's all I want to say.
Man, the most sensitive dark matter detector ever built has failed to detect any dark matter. Let's just put it this way, folks. The only thing you need to know is the following thing. It's a theory. There's no way to prove... Not, I shouldn't say there's no way to prove. A lot of these theories have yet to be proved, but there are theories that are afoot as to why the universe is expanding at an increasing speed. Now, they've often countered the Big Bang, not countered, but they've often said the other bookend on the universe is it goes from the Big Bang to what they call the Big Rip, that the universe will end by simply splitting apart. Just matter, all the way on down to the atom, just everything splitting apart. So the universe is doing this expansion thing. Why? Why is it speeding up? If it was an explosion, like Bob said, then it would slow down. But it's speeding up, and they believe it's because that outside the physical universe, because there is some limit to the physical bodies and the physical matter of the universe, beyond that is this thing called dark matter. Why do they call it that?
Yeah, probably kind of a racial thing, right?
No, it ain't got nothing to do with racial. No, it doesn't.
No, I just meant they're like...
No, it's got to do with the fact that you can't see it. It's dark.
Not if it smiled. Hey, man. Hey, watch it, huh? Boy, kick his ass, man. I'm just kidding around. Ow!
Yeah, you deserve to get your ass kicked.
It hurt.
Go ahead. Go cry, man. Everybody else is crying. Unreal.
I'll kick his ass, man, next time he does that.
I get it. Okay, everyone, just take a sedative or something, okay? All right. World-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. Wow. I got this Bob Green crying, and that guy calling in from Austin crying. Bud's over there licking his wounds. Not unless it smiles. We'll be back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. This is Bo Diddley, man. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our final hour here. Very weird night. I mean, weird. Woo! And now we've got, I forget who is it, Bobby Dooley is on the line. Bobby, by the way, I wanted to just update you. Was not in studio today with Dana Gould and the Sklar Brothers, and she was very, very apologetic about that. But she had some allergy issues or some physical issues. Margaret, you know, be kind, okay?
Well, I am kind. I wouldn't just assume I'm going to be rude, but I'm obviously a reporter, and I'm going to want to ask some questions.
Okay, anyway, hey, Bobby, how are you?
Hi, Phil. I'm doing good, and Margaret, how are you?
I'm good, dear. Did you have an allergy problem today?
Yes, Margaret, in Los Angeles, as you know, we have dry air certain parts of the year, and I was not able to...
Can I ask you to move away from whatever that is?
Those are some children that are here in the mall. I'm with Steve, and we're picking up some things, some last-minute things for our Thanksgiving decorations for the for the Homeowners Association, as well as for this coming weekend's Falltacular.
No, I understand that, dear. I'm not... Could you get away from... It's bothering me.
Look, Margaret, let me do that, okay?
Yeah, but listening to those kids, it's...
Margaret, if you were here, maybe we could have you backhand them across the face.
No. You know, you took that out of context. You really took it out of context.
What did I take out of context? You backhanding your son and then forehanding him and backhanding him.
I went back and forth in a very rhythmic way when he put a half-melted Baby Ruth in the bed next to me, making me think...
I understand that you, if I may say, that you crapped the bed.
Well, I guess it's too late. You ask, may you say that? No, you may not say that. No, you may not. That degrades me and everyone that hears it.
Margaret, he's a 14-year-old boy. He's going to do those things.
Because you have three sons and I only have one, you're going to tell me.
All right, can we finish now, ladies? Because this is not why I brought her on. I brought her on to ask her some questions. Margaret, you're here through the whole show. Three full hours we can hear from you. I want to hear from her.
The fact that she's telling me that my son tried to make it look like I crapped the bed.
What else do you call it when he half-melts a Baby Ruth, puts it in the bed next to you?
Well, you know what? I don't care why he did it or who did it. He got it.
All right, so we understand that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just stunned. I mean...
If Anthony Hopkins can do it with a PR-24 in Silence of the Lambs...
Then you can do that to your son's face wearing a 3-carat rock.
You got it. You got it, homegirl.
By the way, Phil, Margaret reminded me of something. That's how I'm going to be locking out... I'm serious. That's how I'm going to be locking out my podcast... Goodbye, homegirl. I know a lot of people were asking, why aren't you locking out with goodbye, girlfriend? I'm locking out now with goodbye, homegirl. You know, I didn't ask your opinion, Margaret. So am I supposed to respond to her?
No, you're not. No, you're being interviewed by me. Margaret, if you don't mind. I want to just ask you, I know you had made a comment to the effect that you were going to be sending an email with regard to the Boston Red Sox. And was that a congratulations?
No, it really is not my place to congratulate the Red Sox. I felt it was important for us to send a notice of our notice of intent as to the Red Sox and those beards that they wore. It was our feeling that a notice of intent simply saying to the players and to management, and to that end I agree with Margaret, I think the man that owns that team is a pushy and very controlling man, grabbing the microphone, lording it over a female reporter. The man should have, I don't agree with having a knee driven into his groin, but if I were that woman, I would have pushed him off of that stage, simply just pushed him. It's only about a 2-foot drop. And
well, he's going to stumble and fall.
Well, I don't know what he's going to do, but I would have just taken the flat of my hand into his lower back and shoved him off that stage, because no man, I agree with you, Margaret, I'm agreeing with you, no man should do that. But our email of intent is to inform the Boston Red Sox that they can shave their beards now because they look absolutely grotesque. They look like fools. They look as if they're trying to be prophets in the day. I don't know. It gives me a very unsettling feeling that the Boston Red Sox were trying to guilt me into becoming a fan of theirs.
Well, now, why do you say that?
Well, if you're taking the field every day and you look like a rabbinical... I'm sorry, but you look like a rabbinical student or a Hasidic Jew, are you trying to tell me that that is either not anti-Semitic or you are attempting to control the spiritual beliefs of your fans, turning fans into followers? I think it's all very nefarious.
You're sure you're not overreacting to this?
Am I being interviewed by Phil Hendry?
Sorry.
Yes, you are. Margaret, please. Yes, you are, Bobby.
Did you have a question, Phil?
Well, if you don't mind, it's a good question. Are you overreacting to these beards?
No, I am not overreacting to these beards. They are grotesque in the extreme. They look like an attempt at the players to either mock Hasidic Jews or rabbinical students of some, I don't know enough about Judaism, or they are actually trying to get me and others to turn them simply from ball players into some kind of religious clerics, teachers, individuals that we're supposed to follow. I'm offended by it. I know that everyone that will get my email will be offended by it. I've informed everyone that that's the proper response. I would be disappointed if you're not. My husband, Steve, has just come in from... Now, we did do a... Did you put them in all the mail slots, Steve?
Yeah, I put all them... Yeah, we did do a mass email, but then I put them in the mail slots, too. Just got back. The kids were in the truck with me.
So the kids put them in the mail slots.
All right, so you ran around the neighborhood tonight...
We didn't run around, Phil. I mean, it's not like we're running around in a panic. I gave a directive, and Steve and the boys went out and fulfilled that directive.
All right, so you went into the neighborhood tonight, you emailed everybody, and you also put these in mail slots to make sure that everyone got this statement of position by the Homeowners Association of Western Estates that the Boston Red Sox beards are offensive, religiously offensive. They look like they're mocking Jewish people or Hasidic Jews or, you said, rabbinical students?
Anyone that is, anyone who is rabbinical, whether they be a student or a member of the rabbinical rabbi, if you're a rabbinical rabbi, or...
That's the same thing.
Excuse me, is Mr. Hendry interviewing me or you?
Margaret. Yeah, when you say rabbinical rabbi...
Well, what is it, Steve?
If you're a rabbinical, not rabbit, boys are talking about.
No, it's not a rat. It's if you are a rabbinical. We're going to look into that. We're going to get that straight. I can assure you that whatever mistakes were made will not be made, and we're going to get that straight.
Okay, so you're going to. Whatever, but the Boston Red Sox are supposed to respond to this how?
Well, I think they're going to respond to it the way they should be responding to it, which is to say that they will cut the beards off and look like human beings again and quit being offensive and... I don't know. What's the point of your question?
How are they supposed to... You're sending this out. Are they supposed to respond?
Yes, they're supposed to respond. Cut the beards off. You look like... anuses. There, how's that?
See what I'm saying?
No, I don't see what you're saying. You're the one that started all of this.
Oh my God, how did I start it?
By butting in and asking all kinds of questions and bugging her. She was bugged when she started talking about this stuff.
She's been bugged since the day she came bugging into the world. That woman's been bugging since the buggy.
Yeah, it's pretty good, bugging since a baby buggy.
Yes. Bobby Dooley has been bugging since the day she was in a baby buggy. In a buggy.
Buggy?
In a baby buggy, yes. Bobby Dooley has been...
Wait. What are you trying to say about me?
Hey, but don't put people on the air.
Well, Bud put me on the air because I told him to. You're saying I've been bugging since I buggied.
No, I didn't. I said you've been bugging... Would you put her on hold?
Margaret, I'll do that.
She's been bugging since the bug...
We'll get it, folks. Don't worry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Our number 855-500-7445. Visit us online. Get a backstage pass and become a part of the greatest online radio family in the history of the world. We're weird. We're unique. We are multiplying by... We're multiplying like ants. I'm a volcano surrounded by ants. I'm kidding. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Go to some phone calls here. 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. Online at philhendryshow.com. Ben, go ahead.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, listen, I enjoy your program a lot, Phil, and the story about a baby bug or baby buggy, you reminded me of a story when my daughter was born. Her name is Bella, and she was born, and my brother, her uncle, came to babysit the kids, and I remember him when I called him up, I said, how are the kids doing? He said, they're doing great. And he says, right now, I'm doing a model airplane with my son at the time. I said, well, how is Bella? And she's in a buggy. And he said, well, don't bug me. And I started laughing because I thought he was kidding. And he said, what are you laughing at? I said, well, you said, don't bug me. Bella's in a buggy. You know, and I was laughing, but he didn't understand, you know. As I said, do you understand what you said? You said, Bella's in the buggy, don't bug me. He said, and he tried to repeat it, and the same thing happened to him. What happened to, I heard, the other lady there, you know, she's bugging, he's a buggy. And so finally, what we did was we gave my daughter a middle name of Bella Buggy, right? And my last name, which is an old German name, is Bouget. It's kind of an Alsace-Lorraine name.
Uh-huh.
And so my daughter's name is Bella Buggy Bouget. And she left home and immediately got a name changed, you know, to something like Mary Brown. I forget. My wife's here. What's she? Yeah. So it goes to show you that when you try to have a sense of humor, what happens, you know?
Your daughter left home when?
She turned 15. She left home.
When she turned 15? She was a runaway.
Well, yeah. I mean, we tried to track it down, but by then it was too late. She'd moved in with a gentleman that makes... he's a small filmmaker in North Carolina, in Wilmington, North Carolina, makes movies. And
how long ago was this?
Oh, this is about 10, 15 years ago. But her name was Bella Buggy Bouget. And she said to me, I got one question to ask you. How did I get this name? I said, because your uncle said that I was bugging him the day you were in the buggy. And she said, and you know that my last name's Bouget. I said, yeah, it's my last name, too. She goes, okay, that tears it. And she packed a little overnight bag. She's only 15 years old, but she packed this little Pan Am bag she had. And it was actually a bag that comes with a big stand-up doll. Have you ever seen the big giant dolls that they have?
Big giant dolls?
Yeah, it's a big doll.
Well, they have the big... Yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, well, this came with the doll. It was a little overnight bag. So my daughter used that. She packed some, you know, her clothes and got a one-way ticket on Greyhound down to Wilmington. And
Wait. So this is a bizarre story. She left home and moved in with a guy that makes movies because you named her Bella Buggy?
No. Because I named her Bella Buggy. Her middle name had been, I think, what was her middle name? Jennifer.
Well, I mean, the kid got angry at you changing her name to Bella Buggy Bouget.
Right. But, I mean, it was the play on words. She was in a buggy. I tried to tell her. I said, look, you were in a buggy. And she says, what's that got to do with it? I said, what am I supposed to do? I mean, your uncle said, don't bug me. Bella's in a buggy. I said, I got to do something with that. I got to make something out of that. I can't let that moment pass me by. And she said, I understand. I understand completely. But I got to do what I got to do. She said, you made your decision, and now I got to make mine. And I said, well, are you leaving because your middle name is Buggy? And she said, that and the last name, Bouget. And she said, really, that the thing that tore it was my first name, Bella. She said that no one's named Bella that's under the age of 60. I said, well, except for you. And she said, that tears it. And she picked up the Pan Am bag, and she was out the door. And
do you have any communication with her now?
Oh, yeah, all the time. She's married now. She's got a couple of kids.
And who did she marry?
The guy that makes the movies.
What kind of movies does this guy make? I should ask you.
Oh, he makes travelogues.
He makes travelogues. Oh, please. This girl moves in with a filmmaker in Wilmington, North Carolina, and he makes travelogues.
He makes travelogues, but it's a... And he didn't make any with her, because he assured me. I know his name. His name is Kevin. He's a good kid. But it's a... Yeah, he's in the adult film business. So when I say travelogue, it's a... If you get a play on words there, the travelogue...
No, I don't get that at all. I don't think I want to get that.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, that's what he does. And so, and I asked Bella, I said, and she said, that's what she told me. My name's Mary Brown. I said, that's a terrible name. She said, yes, it is. She said, but I'd rather be called Mary Brown than Bella Buggy. I said, no, your name's Bella Bouget. She said, the middle name that you did to me, and then she just slammed the door. She slammed the screen door. And I said, you can't really slam a screen door because there's no wind resistance. And I opened it up and I walked in and she made me coffee. And
okay, I get the general idea here. So you're on good terms with your daughter now?
Oh, yeah. We're on very good terms. Got two grandkids. But her name's Mary Brown.
But her name is Mary Brown. That's about the weirdest story. What, Bud?
Dude, you said it. She changed her name to Mary Brown, and a guy makes travel logs. You sure she's not in these movies?
You know, that's a pretty filthy thing for you to say, kid. I mean, I have not said nothing to offend you. That's a filthy, dirty, rotten thing to say to a father of a woman who she moved in with a filmmaker who makes pornographic, you know, movies like that, but...
No, why do you say that's filthy? I mean, the kid's... He's just... You're the guy with the story.
Well, I know. I got the story here, but I got the... I didn't do it. My daughter did it. Her name... She had a perfectly good name.
You named her Bella. Let me tell you something. When you start screwing around with kids' names, especially when it's some... that the adult thinks it's funny, and they saddle the kid with some gonzo freaking name. I'll never forget, as long as I live, when... Grace Slick and Paul Kantner named their daughter God, and she changed it. The daughter changed it to China.
Oh, that was China Kantner on MTV.
Yeah, she was very good. I don't know what happened to her, but...
Probably got married to a guy, changed her name to Mary Brown.
Well, see, that's what's happening. Probably changed her name to Mary Brown. If you say that I made a mistake with Bella Bouguet, or Bouguet, Buggy...
What's your last name?
Our last name is Buggy.
No, you said your last name was Bouguet.
That's what I heard you say.
No, I'm sorry, I misspoke. My last name is Buggy, and the middle name is Bouguet, and I called her Buggy because we replaced the middle name. But here's the thing.
No, that's not what you said. You said that your middle name, not your middle name.
My daughter's middle name is Bouguet. Our last name is Buggy.
Your last name is Buggy, and your brother said what?
I said, "Where's Bella?" He said, "Bella Buggy is in the buggy," and he said, "Don't bug me."
That's not what you said. You said something different.
Well, what was it?
I don't remember.
A lot of people—that's what happened. A lot of people. I tell them a story. They hear things. They imagine things. They imagine wild, crazy things when I tell them this story. I don't know what it is. I say, "Look, I told you, my daughter's name is Bella Buggy Buggy, and the middle name was Bouguet. We changed it." And I said that when I called up, my brother said she's in the buggy and she's bugging. I forget what he said.
Yeah, you forget what he said. You know what? You're changing the facts of this story as you go.
No, I'm not, Mr. Henry. I've been listening to your show all night. You've had people calling up crying like babies, sniffling like little girls. My name is Buggy. Okay? You can pronounce it Boogie if you want. B-U-G-G-Y, all right? And they used to call me Babe. You were talking about Babe? They called me Babe Buggy.
They called you Babe Buggy. Why?
Because Buggy's my last name.
No, but why'd they call you Babe?
It was a nickname. I was a fat kid. And on the day when that Baby Ruth candy bar, that whole thing, they finally started calling me Baby Buggy. You know, I know when people are laughing at me.
I wasn't laughing at the guy. I'm
You know what? Don't you know when someone's yanking your chain?
No, that guy's serious, man. I called him back. I found him in the Yellow Pages under Buggy.
You found him in the Yellow Pages. That's probably Baby Buggy. It's a business that sells him.
Oh.
This is a guy. You gotta look for him in the White Pages.
Yeah, you gotta look for a guy in the White Pages and a Baby Buggy in the Yellow Pages. Why?
Because it's a business, man. He's a real guy. I found him in the Yellow Pages. You probably found some place that sells Baby Buggies.
Yeah, did he say his name was Baby Buggy?
He gave me some cockamamie story about how his nickname was Baby. So they called him Baby Buggy, and his last name's Buggy, and don't bug me, and he's got a... You know what, man? No wonder his daughter moved out. I bet you she moved out not because of the name. I bet you she just wanted to be as far away as she could get from that nut. Mary Brown. Okay, that's fantastic, folks. All right, you got one day. It is Halloween, man. Are you digging this? It's Halloween on the East Coast, anyway. It's Halloween, and that means that with Halloween being here... Halloween is, it's here, man. So that means that you can, you got one day left to get yourself a Backstage Pass and get a free download for the month of October. Backstage Pass and a free download for the month of October. It's still the 30th here on the West Coast, but happy Halloween to you guys out east, and we'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. What the hell is this, man? Bud, you are really losing it, you know?
That'd be very nice.
Yeah, nice bumper music, man. Anyway, welcome back to the program here. That's Christmas music, Jack. We ain't even gotten into Halloween yet. Anyway, welcome back to the program. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's see, we have this latest here, if you didn't know. The Boston Red Sox defeat the St. Louis Cardinals in the World Series. David Ortiz and the Red Sox, baseball's bearded wonders. We just heard from Bobby Dooley of the Western States Homeowners Association, who says that those beards are religiously offensive, are aimed at Jewish people, rabbinical students, Hasidic, all kinds of stuff like that. And she has sent out a Homeowners Association memorandum to the Boston Red Sox and members of her Homeowners Association, asking them to cease and desist with their beards. Anyway,
I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, she wants a cease and desist on their beards. She says they're ugly and frightening, and you know.
Well, she is too, and I'm sorry to.
No, Margaret, you know, there's no point.
No, she is. She's ugly and frightening. Sorry, read it and weep.
Well, you know what she says about you.
I don't care what she says about me.
That you're jealous of the fact that she's got a podcast, and she may someday have her own animated series.
I could ask me if I care. Really, Phil, ask me if I care. If I could work up a good belt, here's one. There, that's how I feel about that.
Great, what a lady.
That's right.
Shane Victorino, symbolic of these resilient socks, returned from a stiff back and got...
Returned from a stiff what?
Back. Got Boston rolling with a three-run double off the Green Monster against rookie sensation Michael Waka. Shows you what a baseball fan I am. John Lackey became the first pitcher to start and win a series clincher for two different teams, allowing one run over 6.2 innings. 11 years earlier, after his Game 7 victory as an Angel rookie in 2002. So, there is the story there on the Boston Red Sox winners of the World Series. There wasn't the cowboy comeback charm of the Idiots from 2004, who swept St. Louis to end an 86-year title drought. There wasn't that cool efficiency of the 2007 team that swept Colorado. This time, they were Boston strong, playing for a city shaken by the marathon bombings in April. Wow, I forgot that they'd won in 2007. See, one of the reasons why I can't get into baseball is just the Colorado, you know.
Oh, come on, Phil. I mean, the Colorado, they're almost 20 years old, that team.
Well, that's true. That's true. Colorado was 1994? Yeah, I think that's when they started. So there's that. There's another story here that's kind of weird. Do you know about this mystery barge thing?
Yeah, I heard about this. Some barges out on a California coast.
The what?
Mystery barges, as in freight barges, as in ships. They've got a picture of one here. Shows a barge on Treasure Island with the eastern span of the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge at the rear in San Francisco. There it is there. It's a barge with these large containers. Now, each of the boxy structures sits atop a barge and looks like a four-story building made up of metal boxes. Little is known about them, but they appear to have been registered by someone familiar with geek speak and a sense of humor. So, people believe that these belong to Google. The structures are registered with a Delaware corporation, which I think is where everybody registers corporations now in Delaware.
Oh, really? Why?
I don't know, but everywhere you turn, somebody's got a Delaware corporation. Someone's got a company that's a Delaware or a Delaware a law firm, or, you know, Delaware is the place to go, man, to register a corporation. The structures are registered with a Delaware corporation as BAL0001, BAL0010, BAL... So this is like, it's binary code used in computing. The numbers spell out 1, 2, 3, and 4. Currently, numbers 1 and 2 are on the water in San Francisco, and number 3 is in Portland Harbor in Maine.
Oh, so this is a bunch of tech geeks with a little, you know, that's why I hate those people. I really do, because tech geeks only make each other laugh. They don't make anyone else laugh.
What? They're funny.
No, they're not funny. Tech geeks are a bunch of jackballs that laugh among themselves, but the rest of the world doesn't get it. And
all right, so they're laughing at the rest of the world then, you know.
Well, let them, because no one knows what the joke is.
Well, I mean, it's funny to them.
Well, they're going to alienate the rest. This is the problem, Phil. They're alienating the real customers who are not conversant with the tech world. So you have all these tech geeks and their little senses of humor and their computers and they're stupid.
Yeah.
And they piss me off and everyone else.
Well, I will give you this.
Thank you.
Well, Margaret, don't get bent out of shape. I'll give you this much, that there is a necessity. There is definitely a need for some kind of a bridge between the world of the tech geek and the world of the consumer. A lot of these guys, say, are developers or they're website designers, things like this. And then they have guys like me, and there are far more of us than there are of them, and we're the customer. We're the ones that are paying the price. We're the ones that are going to hire them. We're the ones that are going to want what we want. And they have to learn how to speak the language of the consumer. Most of these guys are so geeked out that they think, oh, wow, it's just like I told Lawrence Ross and those guys on Larry's radio show. I said, you have to be able to speak the language of the common man. So it may be simple to the average geek to say, oh, all you have to do is hit this link and then go there and then hit this button and you're there. But every time you force somebody to hit a link, there's attrition. There is a customer attrition. People just fall away. They don't want to deal with it. So the fewer the links to hit, the fewer buttons to hit, the more customers. And I always tell my guys this. I say, when you do something, because we're in like, I mean, come on, let's face it, our website has so much on it in terms of radio material that we are always have got busted links. And I'd say it takes a lot more to monitor a website like ours than any other one. What's with you guys?
I was nodding off.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, come on, you know.
What do you mean, come on what, man?
Well, I was just, no, go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I'll try and stay awake, but...
You know what? I'm talking to the real people. You guys go ahead and fall asleep.
Phil, I'm not... I'm listening.
I'm just saying that the more links you have... Bud, listen to this, because you helped me with the website. The more links somebody has to hit. You understand? So what did I say to you when I said we need to redo the contact thing on the webpage?
You said it, the fact thing didn't mean nothing.
Exactly. So if people want help... They go to contact, and it should be right there. Here's what you do to get help. This is for Backstage Pass people. This is for other people. Bang. Now, that's already, as far as I'm concerned, that's two buttons they got to push. That's too many. And what I was hoping that they would do is at some point...
Larry.
Is this...
David said.
Yeah, you pretty much... I mean, you need...
Get anything more you want to say?
Yeah. Bud, I hate you, and I hate Robert, and I... Never mind. So anyway...
Let me see this thing. Yeah, it looks like a bunch of jive ass.
Bunch of tech monkeys, man. Why do you want to waste the time on a tech monkey?
What's a tech monkey?
But Mr. Henry's talking about just a bunch of tech monkey.
You don't waste your time on a tech monkey. You have far more things you should be talking about, Mr. Henry. I mean, you were talking there about I want to know more about that dark matter. And what the hell's that all about? Talk about the universe expanding.
Just shut up about it.
Oh, yeah? Does it scare you?
Shut up.
Oh, look at you, man. You're afraid of the universe expanding, huh?
Talk about a big tear.
What is that big rip thing?
The universe is expanding. At some point, it's going to rip apart. Not for billions and millions of years, bud. You know, it's the same old story. What makes you think you're so important that you're going to witness the end of the world?
What?
What makes you think you're so important that you're going to witness the end of the world? What makes any man so egotistically narcissistic that he thinks the end is near? That's why that thing, that Bill Maher thing, cracked me up.
You're talking about a big rip.
All I'm telling you is what scientists have said, that there is dark matter that's pulling the universe slowly apart. Now, this experiment, I can't say it failed, but they failed to prove that there's dark matter. They're looking to prove that there's dark matter, and they have a machine that they're using to try and prove that, and they were not able to do it. So, okay, it was about a 100-day experiment, and it didn't work.
And how much is that costing the U.S. taxpayer?
I don't know. I don't even know if it's something that's... I don't know. Maybe it's too much. To find out what dark matter is, you're probably right.
Well, it's not going to blow up now.
It ain't going to blow up. It's going to tear apart.
It's not going to threaten us now.
No.
That's a waste of money.
It's not about whether it's going to rip apart now. It's just something that's really interesting, that's all. God, you guys, man. All right, we'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Make sure that you get a backstage pass and watch us online this Saturday for our big, our sixth-day bonus video cast as I do tequila shots and practice my drunk history recitations, although I won't be tipping my hand, if you'll pardon the expression, tip. As to what it is I'll be talking about. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show. world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And good evening. Final segment here of our program. Reminding you that we are a radio show that continues to evolve. We continue to change how we do things, how we approach things. As such, when we have those little technical glitches like we had last night, please understand that we're working to make things so much better for you. I say that because I should have just kept the camera rolling. We could have done a video cast last night. We didn't have to be online.
Yes, and then people could have watched it today.
Exactly, but I didn't think of that because I'm not too bright when it comes... I'm not too swift when it comes to stuff like that. Make sure you visit our online store at philhenryshow.com. We've got T-shirts, we got caps, we got shot glasses, we have coffee mugs, we have keychains, we have a whole array of CDs. As a matter of fact, our classic CDs, we call them our classic CDs from 1997 through 2005, are all what do we call them? They're all analog, right, man?
It's like a hard copy, man.
Yeah, hard copy.
Yeah, it's hard copy.
Whatever.
All right, so it's got the artwork, and two of them we autographed for you, as a matter of fact. I think it's our 2000 and our 2001 that we autographed, or maybe it's the 99, but they're available online as well. We have downloads, the best of Bobby Dooley, the best of Ted Bell downloads, as well as a whole bunch of other stuff. So visit our online store at philhenryshow.com and get a handful of all of that, should that be something that you would be interested in. And let's see, what else? Well, just as I mentioned Saturday, that's our bonus. The reason why I feel like we need to do a bonus show is because, I think we should have had a show ready to download today, and I just completely spaced on it. So, hey, what do you want from me? Here's the thing here. Margaret, you found this, right?
Well, I find this interesting. New York protesters target Barney's after black shoppers claim bias. A small group of demonstrators shouting, "No shop and frisk," gathered at the Manhattan storefront of Barney's New York on Wednesday to express outrage over black customers' complaints they were stopped by police after making luxury purchases. The protest, organized by Brooklyn pastor Clinton Miller, coincided with an investigation by the state attorney general into the security practices at Barney's and fellow retailer Macy's. Now, as you know, Macy's is quite the historic store. Very traditional. They have...
get the Thanksgiving Day Parade, too.
Yes, they have the Thanksgiving Day Parade. This is very bad publicity for Macy's, especially with the Thanksgiving Day Parade coming up.
Well, do you think black people are going to boycott it?
Well, I would if I were black. I'd boycott it, but I'm white.
Well, okay. Well, why wouldn't you boycott it? Well, you really want to boycott them, huh?
I didn't say I would. If I were black, I would. I am white, and I can boycott in sympathy, but it's one of the traditions at our home, and that is to sit, and as the turkey is being prepared, to sit and look at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. The reason for this is because it really works up an appetite for all of us, because of all the big fat balloons that float by, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that'd make me hungry, too. Why? Because of the fat balloons.
Yeah, there's something about the balloons that are fat that do give us the appetite. And it's also just a beautiful, wonderful tradition. Now, the idea that such a marvelous tradition, a beautiful Thanksgiving Day tradition, can be perpetrated by abject race haters and...
Well, let's not call them that, for God's sake. I mean, you don't know that it's abject race hate. It's one of those ingrained... I would say if it's taking place at all at Macy's, it's one of those very ingrained security practices that may be hard for some individuals to break.
You don't think it's like a company-wide policy?
I don't know. It's very difficult for me to believe that a modern-day company is going to say directly to their security people and make sure you double-check all the black shoppers. I think it is something that... is a security dictum of some kind.
But you just said dictum.
Yeah, as in order. What a jerk, man.
What?
Not everything is filthy, bud. I know it goes in filthy into your ears, because your ears are already filthy, and that's an indication as to what you hear, nothing but filth. Look at those ears.
Ow, ow.
Look at
my ear.
Look at the filth and the blackness in there. Go clean them.
Go clean your ears, bud.
No.
Anyway, so what are you saying?
No, what are you saying?
I'm just saying that I don't think it's... I think that there, if there is racial prejudice or there's some kind of racially biased security procedure, it's as the result of individuals acting in that manner. I just think it's difficult to believe. I mean, look, if you're a company that wants to make sure that you are definitely racially profiling people in terms of security, what, are you going to make that an official policy? Okay, everybody, now here's what it is.
Well, no, you wouldn't, but that doesn't mean it wouldn't be an official policy. But it's going to be difficult for us to boycott the Macy's parade because, as I say, it's very traditional. We sit, and what we do is I make the early morning stuffing, and we have stuffing for breakfast. And then Ampara comes in, and she prepares, along with her husband Oscar. They prepare the bulk of the turkey. Frank goes out and barbecues one. I deep fry one.
Well, how many turkeys do you make?
Oh, we've got at least three or four. We have a lot of people over.
How many people do you have over?
One, two, three, four, six, seven. Probably a good 50 or 60 people.
What, are they homeless?
No, they're not homeless, but we do go out and feed the homeless. But most of the bird, even though we have 50 or 60 people, most of the food is eaten by myself, Frank, and Jason J. Delmonico. We make sure of that. So we'll cook four birds, but hide probably two of them.
What do you mean hide them? What, Margaret, how much food can you eat?
Don't look at me like I'm a pig. My, did you see the look in his face?
Yeah, Miss Hilly.
You're all like, ooh. We hide two of the turkeys in case some of these slobs...
Well, Margaret, you've got 60 people coming over.
For booze. For drinks.
Oh, they've already had their meal.
Yes, they've had their meal. They better have had their meal because they're not... You don't think I'm going to feed them, do you? They're not getting any food off of me. Let me tell you something. I've got a son and a husband. Anyone tries to take food off of the table out of my son's mouth, and I'll take that fork that I test the interior of the turkey with and drive it into someone's throat.
Wow.
God, man.
I'm sorry.
Phew. Get a load of that. Boy, I really love the Thanksgiving spirit you got there.
Well, then don't bait me with those questions.
I'm not baiting you. I'm not trying to bait you. I mean, you cook four turkeys. You hide two of them.
Yes. In case we run out of food, I want to make sure that my son eats. I'm not giving it away to these slobs that come in for their drinks.
Man, Margaret, I mean, remind me not to come to your house for something to eat.
If you come to my house, you're more than welcome, Robert. You drink. You don't eat at my house.
All right, so you start off Thanksgiving.
We start off Thanksgiving with the traditional stuffing. We make four birds. Two of them are ours, and the other two go into hiding, or we hide them.
Okay. And
don't, Phil, don't give me that look like it's all really shocking. Don't tell. I've seen your... I remember when you were 300 pounds, so don't give me that.
Well, Margaret, I can tell you, even when I was 300 pounds, I never cooked the turkey and hid it from people, okay?
No, you'd eaten it already.
Yeah. All right, so great. So the Macy's Day Parade will not be boycotted by Margaret, even though Macy's has been at least singled out in some kind of a racial profiling of black customers who are stopped and frisked after making luxury purchases. What is a luxury purchase at Macy's?
Well, it could be anything. It could be crystal. It could be furnishings. Who knows?
Well, four black shoppers have said they were detained in separate incidents in the two stores and later released without charges, touching off the latest racial controversy at a largely integrated city that nonetheless experiences frequent debates about prejudice and equality. And ain't that America, man, especially in neighborhoods and especially in areas where the races, black, white, brown, where we all mix, mingle, work together, and sometimes, you know, unfortunately, we clash. I mean, that's America, and that is the reality of our country, and I'm proud of a country that's working it out. People thrown together have to figure it out, man.
Yeah, you don't have a riot.
No, you don't want to have a riot, but you are, you know, that's what happens in a country like ours, and there is no other like our country. All right.
Yay, there you go. There's the big patriotic pitch.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right, folks, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Back on track. See you tomorrow night. Don't forget, after the show, of course, we will have a show log up on our website, philhenryshow.com, so check that out, and there'll be a podcast of the show tomorrow on PhilHenryShow.com. Bobby Dooley's podcast returning tomorrow as well. See you later.
I'm not saying that.
You're saying you eat the whole turkey yourself.
Put the whole bird in your mouth.
Yes, I... You're filthy. You got the